month of December and who that speaker will be. Thank you so much for giving us your Wednesday. It's been great, and I look forward to having you on tomorrow. We'll be talking about being a green teen and what that means as far as socially and how that is very difficult. So stay with us, and please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Heck of a day on Wall Street. The biggest two-day turnaround in 5 years. The Dow just today up 331 points. NASDAQ and the S&P both up strongly. Oil prices came down about $3 more a barrel. Hugh Johnson at Johnson & Illington.
Prospects of an interest rate cut, a decline in the price of oil. Investors are starting to get a little bit more on the optimistic side of the ledger, or sort of starting to signal that this may be the end of the correction or bear market.
Middle East peace. Is it really possible in our lifetimes?
Giving a Rose Garden send-off to the Israeli and Palestinian leaders, President Bush sounded optimistic that the peace negotiations that begin next month can succeed.
I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't believe that peace was possible. And they wouldn't be here either if they didn't think peace was possible.
Mr. Bush again vowed that the United States will be actively engaged in helping establish a Palestinian state that will live side by side in peace with Israel. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Next month's debate among Democrats won't be on CBS because the candidates won't cross the Writers Guild picket lines. The DNC canceled the debate. Tonight is a Republican debate. Questions from YouTubers.
Some analysts have said they expect the candidates to come out swinging. Florida Republican Governor Charlie Crist says that won't necessarily make this a good or worthwhile debate.
They don't have to come up with any fancy answers. They just have to speak from their heart and be sincere, be genuine, and talk about what they want to do and what they will do for the people instead of argue with each other.
CNN says it'll pick about 40 questions out of the nearly 5,000 submitted for tonight's debate. Peter King, CBS News, St. Petersburg.
O.J. Simpson made his plea today on the kidnapping and armed robbery charges against him.
To all of those charges, how do you plead, Mr. Simpson?
Not guilty.
Simpson says he was simply trying to recover stolen sports memorabilia there in Las Vegas. Two conservation groups, the American Bird Conservancy and the Audubon Society, claim fully a quarter of all bird species in the United States are vulnerable to extinction, whether they're on the official list or not.
More than 25% of the United States birds are in some danger. Their populations are declining. They deserve all the actions we can take to help improve their status before it's too late.
Audubon's Greg Butcher. More than 200 bird species are in their yellow or red categories because their numbers are declining. The groups blame global warming, urban and suburban sprawl, and government policies that they say are not strong enough on endangered species. Once a Marine, always a Marine, goes the saying. Just ask 28-year-old Jesse Ray of Newaygo County, Michigan, who police say tried to pick the pocket of a 72-year-old ex-Marine who grabbed the offending hand and punched the vastly younger man silly with his other. Since he was caught by the victim and by store security cameras, he pleaded guilty, and he said getting his clock cleaned by a 72-year-old guy was an eye-opening experience. This is CBS News.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
It's the holidays, when the kids get gifts they'll remember forever. And what do I get? Sweater vests. Well, this year, Daddy's getting himself what he really wants. A brand new Cadillac. Now, do I want an all-new CTS, the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year, or an Escalade with an available DVD-based navigation system? Either way, I'm getting a Cadillac. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, son.
The Cadillac Season's Best event. Come see why the CTS is the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Season's Best. From Cadillac. Map coverage not available in portions of Canada.
Spare the rod, spoil the child, unless the government says you could go to jail for it.
The bill's sponsor, State Representative Jay Kaufman, says it's not about stopping someone from swatting their out-of-control child on the behind. It's more about preventing child abuse.
My concern is when parents cross the line from reasonable discipline and reasonable punishment to abuse. And there are somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 cases of that in Massachusetts every year, and that's up from previous years.
Critics of the proposed spanking ban say the state should not be in the business of legislating parental rights. Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Boston.
The big problem with impersonating a cop comes if the real cops show up. In Bensalem, Pennsylvania, police say Harry Hackert had red lights and a siren on his Ford Explorer, and he was armed when he pulled a motorist over and started issuing orders, pistol in hand. That's when the real cops showed up and say the masquerade came apart. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We're shopping home, there's shopping home. Things that are small, pops, big and tall. Drop, fix a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Traffic's a mess? Fear not. The Garmin Nuvi is here with traffic alerts and clear voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on 34th Street.
Give a Garmin.
The Garmin Nuvi GPS. Find it at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
Garmin.com.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth.
Jerry.
And Samantha.
We can't get to the phone right now because...
I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy.
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and...
Sammy.
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and...
Sammy.
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Delighted you have found us. If you're listening on an AM radio or those little speakers behind your computer or even on the earbuds powered by your iPod, I'm glad you found us. Delighted you're tuned in. And I welcome your participation in the program. That means, yeah, you can call in and yak at us. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And before we get down to business today, I just want to remind our listeners to KGOE 1480 in Eureka and Humboldt County. I am coming your way. Yes, Eureka, Friday. We'll be live at the Eureka Theater, 3 to 6 p.m. David Cobb, the Green Party candidate for president last time, he's going to be joining us on the program. And we've got some other local surprises for you, too. So I hope you come over to the Eureka Theater, 3 to 6 for the live radio show. And then my pal Roy Zimmerman is bringing his guitar. He'll take to the stage about 6:30 in the evening and perform some of his great tunes from Faulty Intelligence. He does those political spoof songs that we feature here on the program, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I do want you to join us there. It helps defray the expenses of the Peter B. Collins Show, so we appreciate your support. And I do have a DVD prize for the first person who shows up with proof that they're from the Coos Bay, Oregon area, listening to KBBR. So do join us Friday in Humboldt County. That's in Eureka at the Eureka Theater. On today's program, Mike Lux will join us in a moment. He's on his way to Iowa, where the caucuses are heating up. January 3rd is the big day. Also this hour, we're going to talk to Adam Sterling. He's a young man who, in my view, is the star of this new big-screen documentary called Darfur Now. And it's got Don Cheadle and George Clooney and even an action movie star who plays the governor of California. But the real star is this young man, Adam Sterling. We're going to meet him later this hour. And he's learned a lot about lobbying in his efforts to get U.S. investment funds to divest from companies that do business in Sudan. Also on today's program, the Lieutenant Governor of California, John Garamendi, will join us. He, of course, is the former insurance commissioner. He's passionate about green rebuilding plans in the Southern California fire zones. We're also going to talk about the term limits controversy and this Republican plan to steal California's electoral college votes.
That's ahead next hour. Plus, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com has done it again. She's got a powerful expose on the conviction of former Governor Don Siegelman of Alabama. And it's loaded with cronies of Karl Rove's, insider dealing with U.S. attorneys and their friends and wives, people getting run off the road. And I mean, it's just amazing. And we're going to talk about that story coming up a little bit later today. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, you can call in whenever you like, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Mike Lux is a longtime progressive activist who escaped from Iowa at some point in the past, and he operates inside the Beltway for the most part. But he is about to return to his homeland and heartland to see what's going on there, and then he's going to go home for the holidays and be there for the January 3rd caucus startup of our presidential primary cycle. Mike, how are you today?
I'm great, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. It's good to talk with you again. Hey, before we talk about Iowa, I just need a reality check here on recent revisionist histories. Because I learned last night from Keith Olbermann that Karl Rove has announced that, contrary to the record, that in the fall of 2002, the Bush administration didn't really want the authorization to use military force in Iraq. He said, oh, you know, the Congress forced it on us. And then Olbermann replayed clips with timelines showing how the president requested the legislation. He praised the Congress as they debated it. He signed it with a flourish. And now all of a sudden, for the purposes of the 08 campaign, Karl Rove is telling us that, oh, they didn't really want to go to war.
Yeah, well, Rove never let the truth get in his way. In fact, the entire Bush administration has never had anything other than a passing acquaintance with the truth. They tell the truth if it's convenient for them, and other than that, they are happy to lie. Anytime they want. So, mm-hmm. That whole thing is insane. The Bush people put this out in the fall of 2002, and at the time, Bush's chief of staff, Andy Card, made the comment, well, the reason we waited until September to start debating the war is because you don't roll a new product out during the summertime.
Right.
I mean, they were very clear about it, very obvious about it. It was politics from the very beginning. They wanted to do it right before the election. So that it would split the Democratic Party.
And that right there is another point that Rove rewrites. He said, oh, we didn't want to have a debate before the election.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, that's a terrible way to do it.
No, and just to put some context, because this is something, Peter, I was deeply involved in. That summer, people think that, oh, once 9/11 happened, Bush was real popular, and that was why the Republicans won in 2002. That summer, Bush's popularity actually was going down, and it was going down because of all the corporate corruption scandals.
Enron,
WorldCom,
mm-hmm.
And I actually produced an ad at the time that linked Bush back to his old company, Harkin Energy, and mm-hmm. raised that issue.
Well, you and my pal Steve Pizzo were doing the Daily
That's
Enron.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Steve Pizzo was writing the Daily Enron mm-hmm. for me, and we were doing that whole project. And we were driving Bush's numbers down. We drove Bush's numbers down 15 points in a month.
Yeah.
And it was looking like the Democrats were going to win that election. And in August, Rove got a bunch of people together and said, hey, guys, we're going to lose this thing if we don't change the subject. Let's do something that will divide the Democrats and get the country thinking about something other than all this corporate scandal. And so, I mean, that's what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's fear them up.
Yep, mm-hmm. exactly.
So, all right, now, Mike Lux, just to be fair here, there's some revisionism coming from Bill Clinton right now in Iowa. And this floored me as I turned the page of the New York Times today. Bill Clinton flatly asserts he opposed war at start.
Yep.
And he says, before the invasion, Clinton did not precisely declare that he opposed the war. A week before military action began, he did say he preferred to give weapons inspections more time and that an invasion was not necessary to topple Saddam. But isn't this a rewrite? I mean, I do not recall a peep out of Bill Clinton. I heard some courageous words from a guy named Al Gore.
Yep. Yeah, Al Gore came out strongly, strongly against the war, and strongly against, by the way, I mean, Al Gore came out in 2002 while they were debating this issue in the Senate, and he strongly opposed even the resolution that, that authorized Bush to, you know, to think about going to war,
mm-hmm.
Let alone the war itself. So I don't know, you know, I love President Clinton, but you know, he's as good at spinning things as anybody I know, and I think he was spinning a bit on this one. I don't particularly remember his strong opposition to the war then.
Indeed, and thank you for a direct but diplomatic response from an FOB. I understand that. So now let's take a look at Iowa. You've got a powerful post up at openleft.com today. It's right there at the top of the page with five questions that you have about Iowa, and they're very much on target. First of all, set the scene for us, because I think it's important to underscore that trying to use polling to gauge the outcome of the Iowa caucuses is a very risky game.
Oh, no question about it. You know, there's going to be so many changes between now and January 3rd. This thing is going to bounce all over the place. So trying to make predictions, trying to figure this out is going to be very difficult, and the campaigns are going to play off that.
Mm-hmm.
But one
thing that is clear right now, Mike, is that it is a race, and that there isn't an inevitability for Senator Clinton.
There's no inevitability at all, and in fact, I think right now that she is the underdog in Iowa, and I would argue that for a couple of reasons. One is that I think, I mean, and I allude to this in my post today, but there's a sense that I'm getting from people in the state that she's hit a bit of a wall, that the people who like her really like her, and they'll be with her no matter what, but that she's having trouble winning over new folks. People know about Hillary, they have opinions about Hillary, and she's having trouble getting past the folks that she already has.
And to use a Bush mangled phrase, didn't she misunderestimate the issue of the war in Iraq and the continuing occupation and her ability to pivot from her previous positions? And isn't that one of the reasons for the revisionism by the former president that we just cited?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I think that the Clintons the Clinton team knew that the war was a big deal. But I think they've been hoping to position herself in such a way that she can still win anti-war votes and then have flexibility later. I think that they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, and it's tough for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, the other dynamic that I think is really weighing against her, and I actually think this one is the one that if she loses, will be the one that beats her, is I don't think any of the other campaigns in the state are going to tell their people who are the second choice people in the caucus system,
mm-hmm.
to go with Hillary. I think none of the other campaigns want her to win Iowa because she is the front runner, and they know if she wins Iowa, it will be very, very tough to beat her afterwards. So I think that, and for your listeners who may not be familiar with the caucus rules, I know there's been a lot of discussion about this, but when you go to the caucus and you align yourself with a candidate, at least 15% of the people in the room have to be with a candidate for them to be what's called viable,
right?
For their votes to essentially count.
So there's a threshold.
So mm-hmm. if you don't get above the threshold, then you have to make a second pick. You have to go to one of the candidates who did get above the threshold.
Mm-hmm.
So in many precincts, people are going to walk in, and Obama will be above the threshold, and Clinton will be above the threshold. Maybe Edwards will be above the threshold, but maybe not some of the other candidates. And those people will have to choose. And what I suspect is that many of the campaigns will be telling their precinct captains in advance, tell our people to go to Obama because we don't want Hillary to win it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a break. We'll return with Mike Lux, your popular Mike. A bunch of callers on the line. We'll get to you next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah, Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626 and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Mike Lux, longtime progressive activist, and he blogs at openleft.com. Be sure to go there and read his post about the Iowa caucuses. He makes a lot of very interesting points. We got some callers. Barbara in Coos Bay, you're up first. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
You wondered the other day why the health plan failed here in Oregon.
Right.
And the tobacco company put a $12 million blitz on the television scaring the people and telling them our constitution would be changed and all of that, and that's mainly why that failed. And then you were going to have the tent governor on again today?
He will be on today.
Well, you know, I'm right here in this area where they're going to want to put in an LNG terminal.
The one in North Bend?
Yes.
Right, I've heard about it.
Yes, and our county commissioners just approved that, and of course we've been fighting it for a long time, but I understand the federal government is the one that has the final say.
Not positive about that.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, we're pretty upset about that. And then to get into politics a little bit, I share your views on Kucinich, but I wish Al Gore would run because I feel he would have a better chance of winning than any other Democratic candidate that's up now.
Well, it's interesting. Now, Mike Lux, do the matchups still include Al Gore, or have the pollsters dropped that?
I think most of the pollsters, at least, have dropped it, and simply because the filing deadlines have passed in states like New Hampshire. And so, you know, he's pretty much out of it. And he also just took a major new position with a
venture capital
fund.
Kleiner Perkins, Byers, and Caulfield, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it seems pretty certain at this point that he's not going to run.
All right, Barbara, thank you for your call today. Good to hear from you in Coos Bay. Now to Susan in Stockton. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Mike Lux.
I think you pushed the wrong button.
Well, Dave, you're right. I got Dave. Go ahead. We'll get to Susan in a moment.
Okay. To put it very simply, Republicans, neocons, cheat. They rig elections. That's what these machines are all about. And they don't have them now, I guess, in the caucuses in Ohio, but they'll find other ways. I understand. They've already planted several million votes. And so,
now, where are you talking about? In Iowa?
Yeah. That wherever they can't do it with their machines, they do it. You know, whenever a poll is taken that doesn't involve these invadable computers, Kucinich beats Hillary 25-1.
Well, no, Dave, you got to be careful there. The polls where Kucinich wins are not scientific polls. They are, popularity contests. They are web-based surveys of people who self-select to participate. So you cannot compare those with any of the polls that are conducted on a random basis.
Well, what I'm saying is they're not rigged. There's no computer there for the high-tech Fed goons to go into.
Well, I understand your skepticism, and tune in next hour when Larissa joins us to talk about the Siegelman story in Alabama, because it includes a rigged election, too. Thank you, Dave. Susan in Stockton, sorry for the false alarm. You are now on the air.
Thank you. My first time calling.
Well,
I don't know whether I misunderstood whether you met Hillary or ex-president Clinton, but I remember distinctly when he was asked about the Iraq War. He specifically said we should just hold back, wait until the United Nations has finished all of their studies over there, and wait for that. He wasn't for the war at all.
I didn't pick up that perception at the time. I felt he was fairly quiet, and that, you know, that's common among ex-presidents. They do try to operate in a manner that they would have liked when they were in office, not having a retired president interfere. Mike, do you have
a
comment?
He was trying to be very quiet not butt in and step on Bush's toes, but I thought it was very clear. He thought we were moving way too fast and we needed to step back, wait for all the
information
before. Got it, Susan.
Let's get a comment from Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I think he was nuanced about it, and you know, to be fair to him, I think he did he did say, you know, we shouldn't be moving so aggressively. He was not, he was not absolutely clear the way Gore and some other people were about it, and it may well be for the reasons that you all were just talking about.
Well, let me wrap this up here because we're out of time. Susan, thank you for your comment and appreciate your first-time call. And Mike Lux, tell us where people can watch the Heartland Presidential Forum online.
Well, you know, I should have looked that up before I got on, but it's on. If you go to Open Left,
right, there's a link in your post at Movement Vision Lab.
It's in the post,
right.
and Open Left will have a lot of coverage of it as well.
Real good. Well, enjoy your trip to Iowa and stay warm, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
All righty, bye bye.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Office Depot. Trust Office Depot for everything your business needs. Office Depot, taking care of business. And by TreeClassics.com, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The Federal Trade Commission has done a survey to try to find out how many Americans have been victims of identity theft and how much it cost them. What they came up with was that 8.3 million of us had identity information stolen in one way or another in 2005. That's about 4% of the population. But more than half of them didn't lose any money because of it. As to the other half, well, we'll talk about that after this for Office Depot. Does your company go through ink like water? Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. You can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases at Office Depot when you use your Work Life Rewards card. Buy multi-packs of ink and recycle 3 HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. Work Life Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of Office Depot reward cards when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP ink. See the store and visit myworkliferewards.com for details. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com. They've got more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty. TreeClassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Celebrate TreeClassics.com's 12th year on the web. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when you check out. TreeClassics.com, their price and their quality cannot be beat. If somebody uses stolen ID information to open a checking account or credit card, email, or medical insurance account, that's what's likely to cost you. That's what the FTC has concluded in the survey they made for 2005.
The median out-of-pocket expenses for victims is only about $50. 10% of victims who've experienced new account fraud incur cost of more than $3,000.
Joanna Crane of the FTC, it depends, of course, on what they use the stolen info to buy. It can be a horror story.
Majority of people don't lose very much, but there's a significant minority of people who lose a substantial amount.
Some of it you can't put a price tag on.
There's the measurable cost of time spent and out-of-pocket expenses, but there's a whole other realm of just frustration, emotional problems, harassment that people endure and have reported to us about.
How do you measure what it costs you not being able to take out a loan or having your credit rating suffer?
People do report that they've had banking problems, credit problems, loans rejected, that kind of thing.
Not to mention the considerable inconvenience and pain in the neck factor of having to explain that they've got the right name but the wrong person.
Debt collectors, some people have had civil suits filed, some people have actually been investigated criminally.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 33 minutes after the hour. A couple of weeks ago, Ted Brown was with us. He is the, producer, director, or writer of the film Darfur Now.
This is a powerful documentary that is showing on big screens around the country right now. And it has some star power. Don Cheadle is featured in it, George Clooney, even the action movie star who plays the governor of California makes an appearance in the film. But to me, the real star joins us right now. He is 24-year-old Adam Sterling. Adam, thanks for joining us on the program today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Peter.
Well, I was so impressed with your work as depicted in the film. And why don't you just tell our listeners your story? You were working as a waiter in Los Angeles, and you became aware of the genocide, or at least the massive death and dislocation of individuals in the Darfur region of the Sudan. And you just didn't sit still and pour lattes for people. You decided to do something about it.
Yeah, I had actually just finished college. I graduated from UCLA and was now waiting tables full-time, waiting to actually go to graduate school. And we got involved in this, and we didn't start small, you know, didn't wake up and decide we're going to start a global divestment campaign, just started looking at what we could do. And, you know, the first thing we did is we had a meeting, and, you know, four people showed up to the first meeting, and it was the four of us that started the meeting. And kind of we slowly built from there. We started putting on events and came up with this idea, looking at what was done in South Africa with apartheid, of putting economic pressure on the government of Sudan, and slowly developed this divestment campaign. Ended up writing a law for the state of California that, after a few months of lobbying, was signed by the governor. And since then, we've been doing it across the globe. I'm now in D.C. and running the Sudan Divestment Task Force. We've got campaigns in 10 countries and have now passed laws in 15 more states.
Well, Adam, you told us a story, but you gave a little short shrift there to the work here in California because you went to Sacramento and you learned your way around that building that's called the Bill Mill. You got to meet staffers and some of the legislators themselves. There's a priceless scene that is in the film where you and a colleague go in, and I think it's not a legislator, but it's a government activist there in Sacramento you're talking to, and he looks at your handout and he says, "Where's the union bug?" And this, of course, to some people seems like real lunacy, but it was kind of an important tip-off to you in how to garner support, particularly among labor-friendly Democrats. And if you have handouts that were printed at Kinko's that don't have a union bug on them that shows that a union print shop produced them, then there are Democrats who won't even talk to you.
Absolutely, and I think it just kind of showed our inexperience. I mean, you know, I'd never lobby. We really had to do everything, not just kind of serve as lobbyists. We were the drafters of the legislation. We were our own publicists. We made our own press releases and found the fax numbers for TV stations and newspapers and editorial boards. And we had decided that this kind of campaign that we would do after the bill passed the legislature, it was Assembly Bill 2941, that we would make 2,941 postcards and then have people from across the state sign them and then deliver them to the governor's office, which is a scene in the film. And, you know, I was waiting tables at the time and completely funding ourselves, and I found a great deal at a local printer on 2,941 postcards, so I printed them, and just the whole union thing was completely kind of beyond my grasp, and,
sure,
you know, we were made aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we were still able to get there. Fortunately, we were still able to get the postcards out.
Yeah. And did you ever hire a political consultant or a lobbyist or a lawyer, you know, who knows the ways of Sacramento, or did you just figure this out as it came along?
Pretty much figured it out as it came along. I mean, we've got some great advice from some of the staffers that we worked with, and they helped us kind of with some of the ins and outs, but, you know, on the publicity side and really the, you know, most of the lobbying, it was just, you know, figure it out. And I think to some degree that was a benefit. And I often say, I think, you know, ignorance was my bliss, and that we didn't really stop to think about how comprehensive the bureaucracy was. And so we just kept going and, you know, we're successful.
Mm-hmm. Adam Sterling is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment about the situation in Darfur, about the efforts to persuade American investment funds to de-invest, to disinvest from companies that do business in Sudan, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Adam,
one of the things that is confounding to a lot of people is that Americans seem so self-absorbed that it's hard for us to care about the trials, the tribulations, the starvation and death of people with whom we have no real connection, no relationship. So how did you build your own interest in the plight of the people of Darfur, and how do you express that to other people who seem more interested in, Britney Spears' underpants and, who's going to be the winner on Dancing with the Stars?
Sure. For me it was interesting, and I agree it's so difficult when you hear statistics about any situation like this, and Darfur is no different. I mean, they're terrible, but it's so difficult to connect to statistics, and what you really need is kind of those human interest stories, and which connected me to this issue. I was taking a class at UCLA, and one of the issues we studied was the Rwandan genocide in 1994, and I grew up learning about the Holocaust, but just didn't know that genocide existed beyond that. And here in 1994, in my lifetime, we saw a million people killed in less than 100 days. And it was a book I had read or was required to read for this course called Speak Rwanda. And much like the film Darfur Now, it followed around 10 characters before, during, and after the Rwandan genocide. And you really got to experience their life living through this crisis. And it kind of woke me up. And at about around that same time, word started coming out about Darfur, and again, I was sent a story about that was written in the New York Times. The author had traveled to Darfur and was traveling the refugee camps and had noticed that it was almost all women and children in these camps, and he was sitting and speaking with a young mother and talking about one of the problems is that they bring in food, but to cook the food, they actually have to travel outside the camps and collect firewood, which is one of the most dangerous aspects of life in the camps where they're often attacked and raped. And this author of the New York Times piece, Nicholas Kristof, asked this young mother, he says, if every time you send your daughter out to collect firewood, she's raped, why don't you send your son? And her response was, if I send my son, he'll be killed. If I send my daughter, she'll only be raped. Mm. And that's a decision that has to be made on a daily basis at thousands of refugee camps across Darfur. And, I thought back to some of the decisions I had made in my life. And remember in college, I spent a week trying to decide whether to get an Xbox or a PlayStation. And it put things in perspective. And it was that kind of human interest story, much like Darfur Now, which chronicles six people, one of them being myself and our experiences. And I think that's really the way to connect people.
Well, Adam, you are exceptional, though. I appreciate what you just described. But, most of us kind of hit a wall saying, there's nothing I can do about the Janjaweed militia. There's nothing I can do about the failure of the central government to even acknowledge the genocide, much less permit outsiders like the UN to come in and try to pacify the area and feed the populace. And so it's very easy for people to say, I'd like to help, but I can't.
Sure, and that was the position I was in. I mean, people kept telling us that the foreign policy experts, you got to put economic pressure on the government of Sudan. That's all they respond to it. If they're going to subscribe to peace and security, you got to put economic pressure. And then we said, what does that mean? How are we college students and waiters going to put economic pressure on the government of Sudan? But when we started to look a little deeper, we saw that the government of Sudan depended on these foreign oil companies, that they didn't have the money or the expertise to extract and profit from the country's oil, so they brought in all these foreign oil companies, and then all of that money went to military expenditures and the conflict in Darfur. Then we found that these foreign oil companies, which had enormous leverage of the Sunni government, had millions of dollars of investments that were made by U.S. investors, such as state pension funds, university pension funds. So as partial owners in these companies, we knew that we could apply leverage on the companies and have them use their influence in Sudan, which is the kind of the core of the divestment campaign. And we've been quite successful, and individuals from across the country have been involved in that. We recently launched a hotline. It's 1-800-GENOCIDE. You call it from anywhere in the country, now in Canada. Enter in your zip code. It updates you on the situation of Darfur, connects you to your elected officials, provides you talking points on issues like divestment, funding for peacekeepers. So really, a comprehensive tool to get you up to date and connect you to those elected officials that have the power to make change.
Wow. Adam, you've learned a lot about organizing, about motivating, about understanding the interlocking relationships of economics and politics. This is really impressive. I think somebody ought to give you a PhD without requiring you to do any further work.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest things is we spent, you know, most of our time, I wish was spent out doing advocacy, but it's, you know, doing a lot of research. We put out a quarterly report on companies operating in Sudan, and so most of our time is spent behind the computer translating Chinese websites, and I don't know if anyone's ever tried to do that, but it's not as simple as plugging it into a Google tool. The translation's a bit rough on that end. So, yeah, it's been tough. I mean, there's a scene in the film where I talk about I always expected the experts to take over. Like, we would be involved, and we'd push a little bit further, and at some point, the divestment experts or whoever they were would come in, shake our hand, and say, good job, we'll take it from here. But you know, that never happened. We
they
had
never,
our own experts.
They never showed up.
They never showed up.
Adam, I want to direct people to the website at participate.net / Darfur Now, or you can just do a Google search for Darfur Now, and that's one of the links that comes up. But it's a very well-executed site with a lot of great information, and it not only promotes the film and gives you a good look at the contents of it, but it helps people with ideas on how to get active in trying to turn the tide there.
Sure, and you can learn about the six people featured in the film, including myself, and you can get involved to support each of our efforts. Me with the divestment campaign, you can support the International Criminal Court, humanitarian efforts in Sudan. So really, you can learn about the situation, find out different ways to get involved, and then take action. I mean, it's really catered to helping people find their path.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adam Sterling, I have watched Arnold Schwarzenegger with some interest, and I have, I think, a fair view of him. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I do give him credit when he does the right thing. And it was interesting because as the film plays out, you really don't have a sense of whether Governor Schwarzenegger will sign this bill requiring CalPERS and other state funds to divest of companies doing business with Sudan. Tell me a little bit about the background scenes there dealing with the governor's staff. And at what point did they signal to you that he would support it?
Gosh, it was a bit, it was funny because we, it took forever. We passed the bill and we just could not get a word from the governor as to whether he would sign it or not. I mean, we assume, but, you know, again, nothing's really safe in California. Oftentimes he supports the legislature, oftentimes he doesn't.
Yeah, he's vetoed almost half of the bills that, and maybe even more, that come before him.
Right. I mean, you consider that to our, you know, our president who's now vetoed one bill in 7 years. So, again, I mean, he's got a track record of doing that. And we actually, a couple weeks after the bill had passed the legislature and we're still pushing for this signature, I mean, it took close to a month. I mean, we had this postcard campaign in the middle of it. But we actually got word through various legislative staffers in Sacramento that he was leaning towards vetoing the bill. And so we went into full crisis mode, and we're calling in every favor that we had along the way. We started hounding the state editorial boards. I mean, you can see, like, we got actually every editorial board in the state, the LA Times, Sacramento Bee, San Francisco Chronicle, to editorialize in support of him signing the bill. So it was by no means, and I don't think they show that to a degree in the film because it was really behind the scenes, but it was the end of the road there for a while, and, mm-hmm. and we were pretty concerned that he was going to veto it.
You thought you were going to get terminated.
We thought we were going to get terminated.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Adam Sterling. Again, the film is Darfur Now. Google the name of the film or go to participate.net for a great website with a lot of valuable information. And I hope you will go out and see the film, too, when it shows up at a big screen theater near you. If you have a question or comment, call us now toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth.
Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree. We have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with for the season the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. Our music of the moment from Steve Winwood. It's called Time is Running Out. We're talking about the situation in Darfur in the Sudan. The new film is called Darfur Now. We talked with the writer-producer, Ted Brown, on the program a couple of weeks ago. Adam Sterling is with us. He's one of the six people profiled in the film. He's a young activist, and as you've heard him explain, he's learned a lot about lobbying and political organizing and been quite successful in moving his issues forward. And I'm just really happy to know you, Adam, and appreciate the work you're doing, and just don't stop. Want to take a call here from Muhammad in Sacramento. Hello, Muhammad. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How's it going?
Doing well, sir. And you?
You're not bad. Yeah, I want to talk mainly about Darfur, but I want to make some comment about Rwanda.
Okay, but I need you to be brief because I'm tight and I've got another guest who's going to come on here in just a minute. So if you could keep it to 1 minute, Muhammad.
Okay. I'll just restrict myself to Darfur.
Okay.
There's oil in Sudan, and oil now is almost $100 per barrel. And I don't think that measure of like divesting from the company who, like Chevron, who do business in Sudan, is going anywhere at this time, especially.
All right, let's get a comment from Adam. His point is that there is oil in Sudan, and that he doesn't think pressure on companies like Chevron will make a difference. Now, Chevron isn't active in Sudan right now, is it, Adam?
No, U.S. companies are, especially oil companies, are prohibited from operating in Sudan. And so our campaign really focuses on the foreign companies, and they're predominantly Chinese, Malaysian, and Indian oil firms. And, again, I would recommend anyone who's interested to check out our website. They can go to the one that you mentioned, and you can see kind of the breakthroughs that we have had with companies, many of which have either as a direct result of the divestment campaign decided to leave Sudan or have significantly changed their operation. So there's about 10 companies that have really changed their behavior in Sudan in response to the divestment campaign, and you can look and see the stories about those companies, and that's really what we're trying to do with the other two dozen that we're targeting.
Thanks for the question, Mohammed. I appreciate that. Joining us now is Zahara Heckscher. She used to work for Global Exchange, that many of us know, based in San Francisco. And for more than 20 years, she's been working on issues like divestment from South Africa and from Darfur. She is the Divest for Darfur campaign manager at the Save Darfur Coalition. Zahara, welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm really delighted to be on this show with a progressive outlook and lively listeners.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and let me return the compliment. I saw one of your commercials on a cable news channel, and I was just so pleased to see a pointed message directing people that if they want to do something about Darfur, they can divest from Franklin Templeton and other funds that invest in companies that do business there. And this is a very important message that allows people to take direct action, Zahara.
Yeah, we're really trying to let people know that you can make a difference not only through traditional types of activism, but also what you do with your own money, with your university's money, your religious institution, your state pension fund, and the ad, which folks can see at divestfordarfur.org in our media section if you're interested. We wanted to kind of blow people's socks off by looking at it from a creative way that would get your attention and let people know your money might be invested in companies that are helping to fund genocide.
So, Zahara, what tangible actions have you seen as a result of your campaign?
Well, we work very, very closely with Adam Sterling, who's the other speaker, also one of my heroes in this movement.
Yeah.
And together we support the targeted divestment model. I think that the bottom line is we've seen of the approximately 30 companies that were helping to fund the genocide, we've seen approximately 7 of them either leave Sudan already or change their behavior so that they're no longer considered to be on what we call the highest offenders list. And that's happened because of a wide, wide range of grassroots support, starting in states like California divesting, also with local cities divesting, individuals divesting and pressuring their own companies where their IRAs are held. All of that has added up to some actual economic pressure on the government of Sudan, which, of course, let's not forget, that's where we actually need to have the most impact. We need to change the behavior of that government.
Well, Zahara, I'm happy to compliment you for your work, but I want people to just move beyond that, too, and take action. So the best website, divestfordarfur.org, and there are ways there that you can get involved and take action using your money to engage in political power. Zahara, thank you very much. Good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Now, Nicholas in Sacramento. Nicholas, it says you're a former United Nations worker. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What's your comment, sir?
My comment here is, I see so many negative things that are going on. I think we should engage.
Just a little louder, Nicholas. It's hard to hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like to see more constructive criticism of what's happening in Darfur. Darfur is basically a civil war going on with a lot of interscene problems between different guerrilla groups and the government, and everybody's guilty in that. Basically, I think we should get involved in more constructive criticism and not use very antagonistic words like genocide, which we have also failed, as Congress tried to do in the case of Turkey.
All right, let me jump in only about 30 seconds. Adam Sterling, your response?
Yeah, it is difficult, and there's a lot of debate over the declaration of genocide. From my perspective as a U.S. citizen and the fact that my country in multiple fashions has declared it genocide, I feel kind of bound by that. But I think there is a lot of constructive criticism. The United States have been very critical of the rebel groups that have been unproductive. Our campaign promotes sustainable corporate investment in Sudan. It doesn't ask for no corporate investment. It just asks that companies, if they are going to be operational in the country, have sustainable, responsible investments and aren't promoting or are supporting the violence. So, again, I think there is a lot of constructive criticism, but I also don't think we can allow complexities to be an excuse not to take action, because if you look at any conflict in the world, it's complex, and you can find complexities. But I, again,
Adam
don't
Sterling,
think that should be an excuse.
Thank you for the work you're doing. Please don't stop, and it's a real pleasure to meet you here on the radio.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that, you know, you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For the second day in a row, big gains on Wall Street.
This is the first strong back-to-back rally we've seen the stock market stage in about 4 years.
Researchers warn against too many CAT scans.
There actually is a real increase in the number of cancers that are caused.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Stock traders were able to exhale at the close. Today's gains held, with the Dow 331 points higher at 13,289. The NASDAQ jumped 82 points to 2662. The big reason, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus, was a strong hint from the Fed's vice chairman that interest rates might be cut again next month.
Oil prices slid, which gave investors a reason to jump back into the market as well. Crude fell more than $3 to about $90 a barrel.
Market analyst Al Goldman of AG Edwards is bullish.
I do feel that the correction of the prior 6 weeks is over, and that the market has probably commenced a decent year-end rally.
The Dow has a way to go. It's still more than 6% lower than its record close above 14,000 on October 9th. Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Hurry into Office Depot today for warm wishes and cool gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Office Depot has the latest HD TVs, laptops, and digital cameras, plus a great assortment of MP3 players, digital picture frames, GPS systems, and portable DVD players. Office Depot is the holiday destination for gifts for your family, friends, and coworkers, all at our guaranteed low prices. Office Depot, taking care of business and your holiday shopping. Quantities limited, no rain checks, other restrictions apply. See store for details.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
CAT scans have become routine. Americans get 62 million a year. But while they're a great diagnostic tool, a study in the New England Journal of Medicine warns that the radiation, over time, might one day be responsible for 2% of all cancers. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says it's a matter of moderation.
CAT scans are very useful. You shouldn't not get a CAT scan because there's a tiny risk of cancer. But every time your doctor tells you to get any kind of x-ray, you should say, do I really need this x-ray? Are there any other alternatives? And is the lowest possible dose of radiation being used?
A CAT scan delivers 50 to 100 times the radiation of a traditional x-ray. As the Republican presidential hopefuls gather for a debate in St. Petersburg, Florida this evening, the website Politico.com reports that when Rudy Giuliani was having an extramarital affair with future wife Judith Nathan, the cost of security for the mayor's weekends out of town was billed to obscure New York City agencies. The Giuliani campaign responds by saying this is common practice. The NYPD is responsible for providing security for the mayor around the clock. A Democratic debate to be aired on CBS December 10th has been called off because of a contract dispute with news writers who recently voted to authorize a strike. Many of the candidates have said they would not cross picket lines. After one more meeting at the White House, President Bush sent Israeli Prime Minister Olmert and Palestinian President Abbas home to prepare for their peace negotiations. And Secretary of State Rice announced that retired Marine General James Jones has been tapped to help the two sides with security issues.
Building security in the Middle East is the surest path to making peace in the Middle East. And General Jones is the best individual to lead our efforts in this essential endeavor.
It's a great honor to be asked to be of assistance in this very, very important matter.
Jones has a reputation for being outspoken. Not long ago, he publicly criticized the U.S. effort to train Iraqi police and soldiers. Ford Motor Company has agreed to settle class action lawsuits involving owners of Ford Explorers in four states. The suits claim that 1991 through 2001 model year Explorers were prone to roll over. About a million people will get $500 vouchers for new Explorers or $300 toward the purchase of other Ford vehicles. AMR, the corporate parent of American Airlines, has decided to sell or spin off its regional carrier, American Eagle.
We've concluded that a divestiture of American Eagle is in the best interest of AMR and our shareholders and will benefit both American and American Eagle and their employees and other stakeholders.
Company spokesman Charlie Wilson, reaction in the market was positive. AMR shares rose 7%. Another investment bank is taking a hit from subprime mortgage losses. Bear Stearns is cutting 4% of its staff. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
It's the holidays, when the kids get gifts they'll remember forever. And what do I get? Sweater vests. Well, this year, Daddy's getting himself what he really wants. A brand new Cadillac. Now, do I want an all-new CTS, the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year, or an Escalade with an available DVD-based navigation system? Either way, I'm getting a Cadillac. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, son.
The Cadillac Season's Best event. Come see why the CTS is the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Season's Best. From Cadillac. Now cover...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking this baby on the road. Friday, we will be live in downtown Eureka, California at the Eureka Theater. And if you're in Humboldt County, I hope you'll make every effort to make it over there and say hi. Join us for the live broadcast and Roy Zimmerman's live musical performance right after the show. It'll kick off about 6:30. Later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna returns to our program, managing editor of investigations at rawstory.com. And she's got a big one that you've got to look at on your computer online. It's the story of the conviction of former Alabama governor and a Democrat named Don Siegelman under very murky circumstances involving cronies of Karl Rove, possible corruption by a U.S. attorney. Do you see a pattern developing there? Oh, yeah, and a fixed election. We'll get the lowdown on former Governor Siegelman, who is now serving time in a federal prison, later this hour. But first, the Lieutenant Governor of California joins us. He is John Garamendi. John, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Always a pleasure, Peter.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's this business up in Eureka all about? You going to journey to the Redwoods?
Yeah, we're going up to do a live broadcast there and get in touch with our supporters in the Eureka area and also Roy Zimmerman, who is a very funny guy. He does political satire songs. He's going to be on the live broadcast and then perform live on stage there on Friday night.
Sounds like a deal.
You going to join us?
Which Friday? This coming Friday?
This Friday, November 30th. Yeah, fire up the LG chopper. Don't you have a chopper?
No. No, and I don't even have a G2.
What is your assigned state vehicle now? Do they make you ride in an SUV with security?
I do have a security officer. That's part of modern American life, and unfortunate. But I do have a security officer, and we go around in what I would like to think would be a hybrid, but unfortunately it's not. If I had my brothers, but my personal car is a Prius hybrid.
Oh, nice.
Good little machine.
Yeah, they are. They're amazing. I really like them. Now, John, I want to get down to some important issues, but first up, I wanted to ask you a trick question today.
Okay.
And the category is heavy metal platinum releases.
Okay. Okay?
Does the name Kevin Dubrow mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. Well, he died the other day, and he was the lead singer of Quiet Riot. And they sold 3 million units behind Come On, Feel the Noise. And you don't remember anything about
it. You've stumped me.
Well, I was a rock and roll DJ in San Francisco in the 80s, and I was forced to play that crap every day. And we actually earned a platinum record because we were one of the stations that gave them their break.
Uh-huh.
And one morning, with nothing else to do, we took the platinum album out of the frame and put it on a turntable, and it was actually Al Martino's Greatest Hits.
They gave you the wrong one.
No, they're just cheap. They just put a label on Al Martino's Greatest Hits and
that, called it.
Yeah, that passes for an honor. Anyway, let's get down to business. One of the things that's going on is Senator Feinstein held hearings in the fire zones in Southern California today near San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the emphasis is on better preparedness. But one of the other things we have to look at is as people inevitably rebuild, and we saw people whose houses burned in Malibu over the weekend saying on Monday, yep, we're going to rebuild. But they've got to learn from the past. And how can we change our construction methods, our zoning processes, and other functions to make us safer in the future and try to reduce the risk of wildfires affecting humans?
Well, there are many things that can be done. Let's just put them into three categories. First of all, when cities and counties approve subdivisions, they have to take into account the potential fire danger, and in some places don't build. In other places, build in a way that reduces the risk, and that has to do with the design of that particular subdivision. The second thing has to do with the design of the house itself. We are constantly upgrading the building codes in California. In fact, a new Title 24 building code comes out. A lot of it has to do with energy efficiency. Some of it, but not enough of it, has to do with fire safety. And in some counties and cities, they now have additional fire safety codes for buildings. And it is absolutely clear from the 2003 fire, from the recent fires in Southern California, and even this Malibu fire, that you can build a fire-safe home even in a dangerous area. It has to do with the roofing material. It has to do with the siding material, non-flammable roofing material, siding material that's non-flammable, double pane or triple pane windows. Most fires actually enter the house when the windows blow out because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things are very important, and they should be, in fact, they must be mandated in those areas where there's fire, where there's a high potential of fire. Second and thirdly, you got to have a safe zone around your house. You have to have a clear zone around your house. That's the state law. It absolutely makes a difference, even if you have an older home that doesn't have the fire-safe materials. But, however, as we rebuild these communities in Southern California, we have one more very important opportunity, and we've got to take advantage of it. First opportunity, build the home fire-safe, as I just described. The second opportunity is build the home green. We can actually, as we rebuild these 2,000-plus homes in Southern California, rebuild them green so that they become not only energy efficient
mm-hmm.
and carbon neutral, but they then show the way for new homes that are being built throughout the state of California. Many, many things can be done here. Photovoltaic, solar hot water heaters, the orientation of the house to take advantage of passive solar. Many things, the materials that are in the house, all of these kinds of things, not only fire safe, but green. We're trying to put together a program in Southern California, and it's already underway in San Diego, working with the group down there. We're going to try to put together a program so that as the homes are rebuilt, they're rebuilt green. Apply the state and federal tax credits, the subsidies that are available for solar, the Million Roof Program. Put them in place there. Show all of California that we can build green, not just when we rebuild, but when we build new.
Now, John Garamendi, you describe this in a way that suggests that you're experienced with it. I've never been to your ranch at McKellamy Hill, but do you have solar there and any other toys?
Well, we do, in fact. Our daughters built, we put our ranch in a conservation easement so that it would never become a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
But we gave each of our children a plot of land so they could build their home. Two of our kids built the home at the same time. Are they living in the homes? They went green. They put in a solar system and shared it between the two houses. And it provides all the energy, all the electrical energy that the two homes have. They also are great gardeners, so they have a gardening system, and the garden and the water system mm-hmm. is going to go into a photovoltaic pump. So they have a solar pump that will pump water from a spring up to their house. A lot of other things they're doing with gray water systems and the like. We actually don't have a home on the ranch. We have a barn that I built some 30 years ago, and it has no heating system, so I guess that's energy efficient.
Now, are you familiar with what Tom Bates is doing over in Berkeley, where they've set up a tax zone where residents can opt into a program where essentially they can install solar and pay it off through their property taxes over a 20-year period at a very low interest rate?
I think those are great ideas. Those kinds of programs should be put throughout the state. They're different. It's a financing mechanism. Terrific idea. The more we can move to solar, two good things are going to happen. One, we're less reliant on coal and natural gas. And two, we will be reducing the cost of the solar systems as more are built, as efficiencies of scale are put in place, both in the installation as well as in the manufacturing. And that also provides money for research. I noticed mm-hmm. today that Google's talking about some research money for alternate energy systems. Terrific. The venture capital community of the Bay Area is way ahead of this, and they've got over $2 billion in venture money going into alternative energy systems of all kinds. In the Central Valley, there's a major move for cow power. I noticed PG&E is running advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all very, very important things. And I'll go back to my Prius. We ought to be driving hybrids at least, and I love the idea of a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah.
We can do those kinds of things. We want to use the state government to advance the system, not only to be energy efficient, but also to create a market for these new programs that are out there, these new energy systems.
John, you mentioned Google, and yesterday Larry Brilliant, who heads the Google Foundation, was on our program describing some of their initiatives. And one of the things they do is they've installed solar receptors on all of their parking garages, and they convert it to electricity right there. And they have a fleet of plug-in hybrids that get free recharges on the Google campus.
It's a great idea. They're talking about taking it one step further, and that is finding a way to charge those batteries at night, and then you plug the hybrid into the power system during the day, and the battery serves as a power source for the grid. Now, that's a little far out, but it's possible. There's so many things that can be done. And more than anything, I'm going to go change my name. I'd like to be known as John Brilliant. I mean, Larry Brilliant. How could you get a name like Larry Brilliant? Mama, thank you.
I agree. When I was talking with him yesterday, I had to resist making jokes at that expense. We'll continue in just a moment with John Brilliant Garamendi. You can take it as a middle name.
Well, I think we're going to be accused of being a little over the top here.
All right, we'll continue in a moment with the humble John Garamendi, and we'll go to the phones in the next segment too. You want to talk to the Lieutenant Governor? It's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. He's a Democrat, in case you're not aware of that. And, John, just a little clarification. You and I have talked in the past about the efforts to site an LNG facility off the Pacific coast. Mm-hmm. And most recently, you beat back the effort near Malibu as part of your role in the State Lands Commission. We had a call earlier today from a listener in Coos Bay, Oregon. And North Bend is one of the sites that the LNG industry has looked at. And she told me that local officials, I guess, have taken the first step to permit the plant to be sited there. The question that came up is, how much of a role does the federal government have in locating and evaluating the environmental impact of LNG facilities?
It can be a significant role. The energy Act, I believe, of 3 years ago, gave the federal government, a Federal Energy Commission, a major role in siting. And in certain circumstances, they can usurp the authority of the local government or the state.
Mm-hmm. So they can Bigfoot.
They do have a role. And there's also a role for the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably in safety, although at the Malibu thing, there were major questions about safety and terrorism and so forth that the Coast Guard, in my view, was totally unable to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I that may or may not be the case, depending on the design in any particular facility.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly those two agencies have a major role, and they played their role out here in California. Mm-hmm. Had we not taken action, the feds may very well have moved to approve over mm-hmm. approve the facility here.
Right. Very interesting. I'm happy to get that answer. Now to Karen in Sacramento. Karen, you're on with the Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi.
Oh, I just got so excited I had to call. I just love the idea of taking the opportunity of what has happened in Southern California and becoming a model for the rest of the world. Not only do I have my copy of the Berkeley Voice in front of me, which talks about what Tom Bates did in Berkeley, but I was wondering if you had seen the movie Community Solution.
Not me.
No, I've not seen it, but I'm aware of other communities, and it's going to take a major effort for California to lead the world on this issue. In fact, other countries, England, outside of London, has built a whole green community, and many of the European communities are way ahead of us on several matters. However, California does lead the American nation, does lead the United States here. We have, over the years, despite doubling our population, have been able to maintain the same per capita energy consumption. Now, overall energy consumption has gone up. No other state in this nation has even come close to that. In most of the other states, they've doubled their energy consumption per capita, while we've been able to keep it at least the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And Community Solution is about how Cuba went green. And then I also saw Crude Awakening, which said there are maybe two decades left for uranium on the planet. So it was kind of an argument by oil industry consultants against nuclear and in favor of solar, saying solar presented us with 20,000 times the BTUs we need.
Wow. Have we reached peak nuke?
Oh, yeah. And one more thing.
All right.
I was at the Bioneers Conference, and I ran into a group that has said exactly what you said, that there are places around the world that are far ahead. And they're called the Resource Renewable Institute out of Marin.
Mm-hmm.
And they are building a green plan. And so I was wondering if you two, I've just met them. But.
Well, I'll just give you one more little example. This morning I was in the process of ordering online a tankless water heater to replace my existing water heater, thereby saving a whole lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are neat.
There are a lot of things we can do individually,
yeah.
From the CFL, the light bulbs, fluorescent lights, to tankless water heaters and insulation and hybrid cars. All of these things are available to us, and if each one of us does just a little bit, particularly, and I'll go back to the role of state government here. The state government, or let's say government in California, is arguably the biggest consumer of energy when you put it all together. And if each part of the government were to do a little, they would add up to a great deal. And that's what I want to try to make sure happens. Governor Schwarzenegger's issued three different executive orders on this issue. The question is it happening? Is the University of California, and I'm a regent there, are they really instituting programs to save energy and to meet the executive order?
Karen, thanks for your call. Now to Jen in Sacramento, also listening to 1240 KSAC. Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, hello. My question is, has there been any efforts to create a vehicle or automobile recycle program, that being that you could turn in your old gas guzzlers to give credit or actually a lot of money off on those solar cars or those cell cars?
All I know about is the trade-in that is going to make the sales manager keel over and die.
Well, actually there are some similar programs. There actually is a federal tax credit available for certain hybrids, not all of them, but for certain hybrids, a state tax credit also. A federal tax credit. There is a state program to allow you to drive on the HOV lane a certain number of each of the models of hybrids.
Right.
All those things are incentives. There was a program, in fact, I think it's still in place, to take the old clunkers off the highway.
Mm-hmm. John, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. We'll talk in 2 weeks. John Garamendi, Lieutenant Governor of California.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Look who got whooped. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The President's Mideast Summit has led to an awkward handshake and a promise to talk some more. And while that falls short of solving the Israel-Palestinian problem, it's had one encouraging effect. It amounts to a whooping for the President of Iran. Because the President of Iran didn't want the summit at all. And he in particular didn't want Arab nations showing up for it. In fact, he flat out told Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah not to join in, not to give in to the deception of the Zionist enemy. The king sent a minister anyway. Nothing to do with defying Iran, he said. But the fact is, he defied Iran. Iran also asked the president of Syria not to send anyone. The president of Syria sent a minister anyway. Said he just wanted to get the Golan Heights back from Israel. Had nothing to do with defying Iran. But still, he defied Iran. In all, 20 Arab and Muslim countries sent foreign ministers or other senior ministers to Annapolis in defiance of Iran's wishes. Isn't it great seeing some other country being defied for a change? And so, the president of Iran is looking weaker, which means he might just lose the next election, and they do have elections there, and might just lose it to someone who'd be a little, shall we say, less in love with phrases like death to the great Satan. In a way, that would be too bad, now that we've gone to the trouble of learning how to pronounce Ahmadinejad. But with a more moderate leader in Iran, the U.S. Air Force might not have to prepare the soil of another Middle Eastern country for the seeds of democracy. They might just sprout on their own. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America. Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, we're Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes into the hour. Larissa Alexandrovna is the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com. And you've got to drop everything and log on to rawstory.com today and read this two-part series about Governor Don Siegelman, the former governor of the great state of Alabama, who's now serving time in a federal pen. And when Larissa and her colleague Muriel Kane dove into this story, what they come up with is astounding. Larissa, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Well, it's always my pleasure, and I am so impressed with your work here. And this is a story that I've been curious about, and that I've seen some coverage on. The New York Times has done a couple of pieces.
They've done editorials, that's correct.
But they've always left me wondering what the true story is, and if they are really revealing everything they know.
Well, and they weren't reporting. They were just doing an editorial calling for an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So as an editorial, I don't think they necessarily had to provide anything other than their opinion.
Well, I do recall one lengthy article. It was a news column. It wasn't an editorial.
Oh, okay.
About the Siegelman case. And I felt that they did a good job of presenting the basic facts,
mm-hmm.
but they really didn't get into motives and didn't develop enough about the relationships between the U.S. attorney, her husband, who's a political operator, the long-running feuds in Alabama over Governor Siegelman. And you put it all together with charts and photographs.
We needed the charts. It's so complex, we needed the charts.
It is. It's almost, there are almost enough characters here for a deck of cards.
Actually, it's funny, we were joking about that.
Yeah?
The making Siegelman cards, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, and even trying to explain it, to listeners, it's almost impossible to summarize it because people will get lost once you start using names,
mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're going to plunge into it anyway.
Okay, sure.
And I want listeners to follow up and go to the website. That's why I made the comment initially, because this is complicated. And some of these figures are people you've never heard of and hope you'll never hear of them again. But when you look at the charts and names like Jack Abramoff and Karl Rove pop up, you start to see the outlines of larger patterns of behavior. And Larissa, one of the things that we've been so curious about since the U.S. attorney's issues surfaced last January,
mm-hmm.
is, exactly what were the marching orders from Washington? How intimately did Karl Rove get involved, not only in the appointment of U.S. attorneys? We know there was a Wednesday meeting at the White House virtually every week to talk about judges and U.S. attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
But how much did he micromanage the operation of these various U.S. attorney offices? Well, as we get into this story in Alabama, it appears that he was, involved in some of the details and some of the calls. And the story starts off with a stolen election. Why don't we start there? When Don Siegelman was running for re-election, he thought he won, and then, the next morning things shifted dramatically.
Right, just like in Florida. He was a very popular governor, and a Democratic governor in a Republican state. So he had initially won, but something funny happened overnight, and his opponent, Governor Bob Riley, declared himself the winner.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted a recount. There was one particular county that was Baldwin County that was counting or doing a recount after Siegelman had won and found all these votes for Bob Riley, apparently, that were overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, because the election was close, Riley won by a tiny margin.
3,120 votes.
Exactly.
The official count.
It under Alabama law, they were allowed to, it triggered this, that they were allowed to have a recount.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the problem was that the Alabama Attorney General at the time, William Pryor,
mm-hmm.
sealed the ballots. And that was that. There was no recount.
Well, and his reward, if you couch it in these terms, and if you follow...
And you can, I think, safely couch it in these terms.
Thank you.
I can't, but you can.
William Pryor was given a recess appointment to a federal judgeship, meaning that when the Senate was not in session, the president used that prerogative to appoint him because he knew that the Senate would not confirm him.
Well, the Senate was opposed to him, and mind you, this was like the following April.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know... the election was November 5th, 2002, and then the appointment was the following April.
Right.
So it's
yeah.
fairly, you know, soon after.
Mm-hmm. Now, my listeners demand to know how much you know about the stolen election and if machines were involved.
There were machines involved, but not in Baldwin County, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know enough about the mechanics of the election itself.
Mm-hmm.
That was not my focus. My
gotcha.
Focus was more about... obviously, the corruption and politics of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
there are people who have written. There are scholars who have written documents on this, and I actually got a windfall after the first two parts of this five-part series.
Mm-hmm.
So there are available if you go to various Alabama universities. A lot of these scholars have their findings posted. On the university website. So.
Okay. Now, I want to recap to help people follow along with the complicated cast here. We've
right.
introduced Don Siegelman. He was the Democratic governor who lost after this questionable election to Bob Riley. And Bob Riley's campaign manager, at least a campaign consultant, is a guy named Bill Canary.
Right.
And Bill Canary has ties to Karl Rove. They
well,
worked...
wait.
Yeah?
Not only Karl Rove, but remember, we just mentioned the Alabama Attorney General who sealed the ballot.
Right, William Pryor.
Who was mm-hmm. then made, who was then installed on a recess appointment to the 11th Circuit
right.
as judge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Riley's campaign advisor, or dirty tricks guy, and Karl Rove, and the guy's name is Bill Canary.
Mm-hmm.
Canary and Rove actually managed Pryor's 1998 campaign, Pryor, the Attorney General.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so we have Canary tied to Karl Rove on the 1998 campaign of William Pryor for Attorney General, which he won,
mm-hmm.
and that the two of them, Canary and Rove, worked on campaigns in Alabama as far back as 1994.
Right.
Now we have Bill Canary's "quote unquote" girls, and that's
right.
that's not a sexist term that I have originated. Tell us the origin of that phrase.
That phrase comes from a whistleblower, a Republican whistleblower attorney by the name of Dana Jill Simpson, who was working on the Riley campaign doing opposition research against Siegelman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dana Jill Simpson. Her name
correct.
Will come up again.
A lifelong Republican, a longtime Alabama Republican attorney and political, operative for Republicans there, is the whistleblower.
And for blowing the whistle, they burned down her house and ran her car off the road.
Well, I was going to get to that, but if you want to put the cart before the horse. she alleges that, and, honestly, I see no reason for her to be making this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because... you see what I'm saying? There's no benefit here. She alleges that on November 18th, which is the day that Siegelman concedes because he's been made clear to him that the ballots are sealed and nothing's going to happen and you need to, you know, and they had some other information that they had collected on him that they were using.
Mm-hmm. This was the quid pro quo, the campaign contribution for the appointment?
No, No. I mean, that actually didn't happen because, I'll get to that.
Okay.
No. They were using, and see, I don't want to muddy the waters here because it's a side thing. But they were basically, Simpson, who is the whistleblower, was doing opposition research, and she had followed one of Siegelman's campaign staff, like just some staffer, putting Riley signs up at a KKK rally.
Mm.
So they took photographs of this, and they were, you know, showing him this. And, you know, it's not illegal. It's just unseemly.
Right. Okay.
In any case, so he concedes on the 18th. The night of the 18th, allegedly, there is this conversation between Riley's son, who's on his campaign, Canary, and a few other folks. And during this conversation, they talk about Siegelman. And Canary says basically that his girls will take care of it, that he's talked to Carl, and he's got it all taken care of. That's all set up with the Justice Department.
And here's another quote, not to worry about Don Siegelman, his girls would take care of the governor.
Right, and they did. Mm-hmm. His girls were his wife, who was appointed U.S. attorney in 2001 by George Bush, and her associate Alice Martin, also appointed for both regions in Alabama.
Okay, and the wife's name is Leura. It's not a typo. L-E-U-R-A?
Leura, yeah.
Leura, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so Leura is appointed as U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Alabama.
Correct, in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she gets into her office, Her main focus is trying to find something to nail Siegelman on.
Mm-hmm.
So he now concedes, and he's done, but the girls are going after him anyway for some reason. This is still where the mystery is. So they start, in 2002, really digging in their heels, and they eventually come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
What they come up with is what you referenced about the allegation of
Richard Scrushy donating $500,000 to be appointed to a regulatory board.
The problem is that Scrushy had served on that board for a good 10 years, if not more, under three different governors.
Uh-huh.
So he was already on that board anyway. So it wasn't. Plus, the contribution wasn't made to Siegelman or even Siegelman's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It was made to an education campaign
run
by a non-for-profit that Siegelman was the spokesperson for.
Okay, so that's
in other words, he made no profit off this contribution. But this is what they bring up, and they bring it to one judge who was so appalled at this case that he basically, holds the prosecutors in contempt.
Wow.
Right. And so the case is dismissed. And then everything's quiet. Well, in 2000 and,
June of 06. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Siegelman decides he wants to run for office again. And out of nowhere, 32 indictments, there's 32 charges.
Mm-hmm.
Are delivered against him. And now we have to get to the judge on this case, though. And do we have time before the break? Or?
No, let's take the break. That's perfect timing. We'll come back and meet the judge and get back to the girls, the Canary girls, who were expected to take care of former Governor Siegelman. It's an interesting story. I realize it's a little complex. If you need to refresh your memory on the names, go to rawstory.com. And this multi-part story, the two parts are posted so far, I guess there are three more coming, is available there. It's powerful reading, and you'll learn a lot. It's quite a story. We'll continue with Leura Alexandrovna in just a moment. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah. Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10.
You're listening
right
to
here on KRXA 540.
Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Several weeks ago, I saw UFOs over Monterey Bay using night vision equipment. If you want to see UFOs, contact me, Bob Oliver, and listen to the Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Recent polls show that 93% of the people do not trust our government. Tune in Saturday at 11 a.m. for answers and discussion. We are not alone. Our history books are not accurate. Call in, add your piece to the puzzle. Night vision goggles, UFOs. That's simple. Think for yourself. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday, 11 a.m. on Progressive Radio, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
For my homeless faces, kick to the cracks of city places. Got plenty of space, so what's the basis?
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombie has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombie's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on JoeRombie.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
We'll get it open. 52 San Francisco. It is clear, beautiful night. 61 degrees in Missouri.
All right. Well, there it is, folks. Whoops. Let's get you caught up to date and give you the very latest information. Well, we do want to talk a little bit about what's happening in. A new crash being reported. It's located right smack in Santa Cruz Mountains. Summit Road at Bear Creek. We have an accident. Two cars. A head-on collision, in fact. So we're talking about a pretty serious accident. Both lanes are blocked. Again, Summit Road at Bear Creek. Two-car crash. Head-on there. It's a head-on collision. Both lanes are blocked. CHP fire department crews are also present as well. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Pockets of slow-and-go traffic. Hollister, eastbound 25, slows from Gilroy to Hollister.
Hear ye! The Colts in session! The Colts in session now! Here come the judge! Here come the judge!
Here come the judge!
We continue the narrative here, this fascinating investigative story from the great state of Alabama, where former Democratic Governor Don Siegelman is now behind bars. Say that again?
He's not in Alabama behind bars.
He's
in Louisiana behind bars.
The poor guy.
It gets worse. It gets much worse.
Yeah, they won't even let him serve his time in his home state. Okay, so we had here come the judge, and the judge in this case is Mark Fuller, a former district attorney appointed to the court in 2002 by one George W. Bush.
Right.
And he was also accused by his successor in the DA's office of falsifying payroll records. So that was a scandal that led the judge to support Riley over Siegelman. Is that right?
Yeah, he actively supported him. But I think we should back up for a minute. You've got the whistleblower, the Republican attorney on the Riley camp.
Jill. Uh-huh.
The big bombshell in her testimony is that on November 18th, it was decided upon that Judge Fuller would, quote-unquote, hang Siegelman.
Hang him.
Hang him. Mm-hmm. That's the direct quote. Hang.
Okay, right.
Okay. Fuller wasn't a judge yet. Bush promotes him.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes a judge. And gets the case a couple of years later when, mysteriously, he gets the case. Siegelman runs her office, and these 32 charges are, basically thrown at him.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, he loses the Democratic primary. and then 25 charges are dropped by Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
So he's tried and convicted on 7 counts of bribery.
Okay.
And fraud and whatnot, all stemming from this case. With this donation that he never got any money for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So what happens next is the way it was the kangaroo court. According to everyone I've talked to who was there, and both Republicans and Democrats, it was a kangaroo court. For example, you had a juror who during the, preliminary, the jury selection, was asked what he thought of Scrishy's, the guy who's alleged to have bribed Siegelman.
Right.
And he said, oh, I think he's guilty. So the guy becomes, not only does Fuller let him stay, the guy becomes foreman.
Oh, great.
Right. Okay. Right. So there was decisions like that. There were just, the judge made very controversial decisions throughout the case, favoring the prosecution. And during the case, there were jurors who were emailing each other, discussing the case. And there were very valid allegations of jury tampering that a juror brought to Fuller's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Who, Fuller just was like, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care. Anyway, Siegelman's found guilty. Surprise, surprise. And he wants to appeal. Well, most people, when they appeal, like, for example, Scooter Libby, are out on bond.
Right.
Fuller said no. He can't. He has to be incarcerated while he's appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And moreover, he sentenced him to, if you look at the crime, even the crime itself, let us assume for a minute that Siegelman is guilty of this.
All right.
My understanding, and I'm not an attorney, but certainly the ones I've talked to, my understanding is that this is excessive. He got 7 years, 4 months. And that night he was moved out of state to Georgia. Then he was moved to New York and a couple of other states, while his attorneys were told that he was in Texas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's hide the convict.
Right. And the Justice Department has intervened and not allowed reporters to have access to the governor while he's in prison.
Mm-hmm. Now, Larissa, part two of your series is an interview with one of the daughters of Governor Siegelman.
Well, the only daughter.
Oh, okay, the only. I haven't had a chance to review it yet.
Okay.
We've got about 2 minutes, so what are the key points that she made in the interview you conducted with her?
Well, she actually puts a human face on this whole thing. And if you read it, you'll see she's really a firecracker with a really kind of great sense of humor that I think it'll be a benefit to her. It'll give her strength through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, she adds to something you mentioned earlier, the whistleblower Simpson, when she decided to go forward as she watched this innocent man being, going to jail. Her house was burnt down, and her car was run off the road.
Mm-hmm.
So what the new revelation in my interview with Dana Siegelman is that apparently the Siegelman's home was broken into twice during the trial, and the attorney's office was broken into. And the thieves apparently were very finicky because they were only interested in files. Not computers,
right.
Any number of more valuable items. They were very much just interested in files.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the big revelations in my interview with her. But for the most part,
does she explicitly finger Karl Rove?
Yes, but she does so based on, the what's in the public record now.
Uh-huh.
And,
okay.
This is post Simpson's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So while, is there evidence linking Rove to this? Well, there's not just this Republican whistleblower's testimony. There's evidence of the relationship between Canary Pryor and Roe that goes, right. You know, back years. So there is reason to believe that this is true, and I can see why she does. But I wouldn't say she has some insider knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you know? Larissa, there's more to this story, and I thank you for working through it with me here today. I recognize it's challenging for the listeners to follow all this without a scorecard, but I hope they will be intrigued enough to go to rawstory.com and read the series so that they can see the way this miscarriage of justice has occurred and the outlines of how the Bush administration has operated to politicize the courts and the Justice Department. Thanks for a great series.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again soon. That's Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor of Investigations at rawstory.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Optimism returns to Wall Street. The Dow jumped 331 points, its second triple-digit gain in a row to close at 13,289. Driving the market today, comments by Fed Vice Chairman Donald Cohen suggesting interest rates might be cut again next month.
Financial stocks led the surge, and we know that financial stocks have been battered because of the subprime mortgage mess. But the feeling on Wall Street now is that these companies like Citigroup and Freddie Mac are finding ways to raise cash despite the mortgage mess.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says it didn't hurt that oil prices plunged for a second day, down nearly $4 to $90.62 a barrel. Researchers warn against too much of a good thing in medicine. They say frequent CAT scans year after year can lead to an increase in cancer. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
The risk of getting cancer from one CAT scan is very low. But the problem is, even though you have a very low risk, when you're doing such a large number of CAT scans, there actually is a real increase in the number of cancers that are caused.
In 1980, 3 million CAT scans were done in this country. Now the number's up to 62 million. Tomorrow, the Food and Drug Administration discusses whether to impose limits on the amount of salt in processed foods. Many doctors consider it the most dangerous single ingredient in our diet. The average American consumes 4,000 milligrams of salt every day, twice the maximum recommended daily allowance. In a Las Vegas courtroom today,
all rise.
O.J. Simpson and two co-defendants were arraigned on kidnapping, armed robbery, and other charges in connection with that hotel room confrontation in September. All pleaded not guilty. The trial was set for April. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen looks ahead.
You don't know exactly how strong the government's case is, but you do know that there already are question marks that defense attorneys are going to take advantage of. The question of whether Simpson knew that there was a gun involved, the question of whether the FBI knew about this beforehand and did nothing to stop it. And, of course, the main witnesses against Simpson have credibility issues that we saw a few weeks ago during the preliminary hearing.
At the White House today, the final act of this week's Mideast peace effort. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Ending 3 days of talks with the Israeli and Palestinian leaders, President Bush made clear he expects them to deliver on the commitment they made at Annapolis.
No matter how important yesterday was, it's not nearly as important as tomorrow and the days beyond.
With the two leaders at his side in the Rose Garden, Mr. Bush voiced optimism about the prospects for upcoming peace talks, and he renewed his pledge that the U.S. will be actively engaged in the process. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
One sign of that active engagement, retired Marine General James Jones has been enlisted to help Israel and the Palestinians work out their security issues. This is CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
into Office Depot today for warm wishes and cool gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Office Depot has the latest HD TVs, laptops, and digital cameras, plus a great assortment of MP3 players, digital picture frames, GPS systems, and portable DVD players. Office Depot is the holiday destination for gifts for your family, friends, and coworkers, all at our guaranteed low prices. Office Depot, taking care of business and your holiday shopping. Quantities limited, no rain checks, other restrictions apply. See store for details.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100! Oh, hey, Vitamin A! Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
12 states are suing the Bush administration. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports they're challenging a change by the Environmental Protection Agency.
The weakening of this rule really doesn't make much sense.
Special Deputy Attorney General Catherine Kennedy in New York, which joined 11 other states suing over the EPA's decision, allowing companies to limit the amount of information they disclose about toxic chemicals. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal.
Now polluters can release 10 times more toxins like lead, mercury, without telling anyone as a result of this rollback.
The tougher standards were enacted in 1984 after the Bhopal, India chemical disaster. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
From the Easier Said Than Done department, new advice for women trying to lose weight after pregnancy. In those months of tending to an infant at all hours of the day and night, researchers say shedding those extra pounds would be easier if new mothers got more sleep. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Hurry into Office Depot today for warm wishes and cool gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Office Depot has the latest HD TVs, laptops, and digital cameras, plus a great assortment of MP3 players, digital picture frames, GPS systems, and portable DVD players. Office Depot is the holiday destination for gifts for your family, friends, and coworkers, all at our guaranteed low prices. Office Depot, taking care of business and your holiday shopping. Quantities limited, no rain checks, other restrictions apply. See store for details.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Mosel with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Nothing here tonight. No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting.
Yeah, but we can argue, can't we? Yes, we have a rule, no fighting here in the free speech zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. But you are free to argue, particularly if you disagree with your humble host.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel it's right. Old attraction, attention. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Yes, it's progressive talk you can dance to. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. If you heard the rules here, they're simple. We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You call 1-888-5-PETER-B. And Katrina Rill will answer the phone. She will ask you what you want to talk about, but she will not interfere with your choice of topics or the viewpoint that you want to express. So if you're a gun nut, hey, bring it on. I'll talk to you. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our number, 888-573-8372. We'll go to your calls here in just a moment. I realize that over the last half hour, we may have lost some of you. The story that Larissa was explaining about the complex web of evil in Alabama that has led to the conviction and incarceration of a former Democratic governor. Yes, it's complicated. But let me boil it down for you. Two words. Karl Rove. And just during the news break, Truth Out blasted a story my way that has to do with Karl Rove and the investigation into his White House political operation. There's a new allegation that the head of the agency investigating Karl Rove, Scott Block, who runs the Office of Special Counsel, we've talked about him on the program before, hired a company called Geeks on Call. And that the allegation is that he instructed Geeks on Call to delete computer files. Now, this is an investigator. This is a guy inside the White House who is supposed to be making sure that everybody in the White House operates in conformance with the law. And the investigator has been under investigation since 2005. The investigator is the Office of Personnel Management. Their inspector general is looking into these claims. And now we learn that in bypassing the computer techs who work at the White House, that Scott Block allegedly called 1-800-something-something-geeks for Geeks on Call. And they sent a technician in a PT Cruiser over to the White House, where apparently he exercised his index finger on the delete button. Scott Block says no documents relevant to any investigation were affected. Well, then, Scott, why didn't you just shred them like everybody else does? Block had his computer's hard disk completely cleansed using a 7-level wipe provided by Geeks on Call. Gosh, doesn't that sound like some operation that's linked to Jeff Gannon? Have you ever had your hard disk completely cleansed with a 7-level wipe? When I want that, I just throw it in the bay. So the Karl Rove factor continues to surface. And I don't know if you caught Keith Olbermann's show on MSNBC last night, but he had a great story that was stunning. Karl Rove, now out of the White House and still operating as a political campaign consultant, has been telling his clients to run against Bush and the war. And he's also offered a novel rewrite of recent history. Karl Rove says that in the fall of 2002, the White House did not want Congress to pass the authorization to use military force against Iraq. No, no, and they didn't want the debate to take place in the contentious re-election atmosphere of that midterm election in 2002, says Karl Rove. And this is the kind of, 100% BS that is rarely challenged in the corporate media. The BS is spilled out, it is reported by stenographers, and we smell it all and move on to the next story. So I congratulate Keith Olbermann for a great report on Karl Rove's revisionist history last night. And as we kicked off the program today, we were talking with Mike Lux, a friend of Bill and Hillary's, who is a progressive who doesn't sound like is supporting Hillary in her presidential race. And despite his close relationship and the work he did in the Clinton administration in the 90s, Mike Lux acknowledged that when Bill Clinton has tried to rewrite history in Iowa, saying that he opposed the war in Iraq from the beginning, well, we have to apply the same BS detector that we just applied to Karl Rove. And we had a caller earlier today arguing that Bill Clinton had publicly said that he opposed our invasion of Iraq, and I do not recall that. And if you have any sources or if you want to do a Google search or some other look and come up with dates and quotes, I'd love to see it. But I'm a news junkie. I don't follow sports and the brain space that other guys devote to sports. I devote to politics and news. And I cannot recall in the run-up to the war that Bill Clinton made any substantial public statements of any kind, much less suggesting he opposed Bush's invasion from the beginning. So I'd like to hear from you about revisionism and about how we are really spinning out into a newly created reality where there's very little honest truth. There is just spin positions and dominant positions. And they dominate not because they are factual, not because they're based on the truth, but simply because they are hammered and driven into us more than the other positions that might actually have a shred of truth in them. And with that in mind, at this very hour, I don't want to cause you to tune to television, but hey, if you're going to, you will. CNN is broadcasting a joint appearance by the Republican candidates. We cannot call it a debate. They are facing questions that were submitted by citizens via YouTube. And I'm really curious about this. I've got it running on my TiVo, and when I get home, I'm going to watch it from the beginning. But I fear that, number one, it's going to be just more trivial kinds of questioning about gotcha issues like driver's licenses for immigrants. And I fear that CNN will select the YouTube videos with some crass considerations in mind, like what they did in the Las Vegas debate where that poor young lady was told that she had to use a question about whether Hillary preferred diamonds or pearls instead of the one that she wanted to ask about the Yucca Mountain nuclear repository. So I have deep reservations about the news judgment, the political judgment that CNN has shown so far, and in particular Wolf Blitzer. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out this evening, and I would invite your comments on that. 888-5, Peter B., lines are open for you this entire hour. We've got no guests scheduled, so grab a line and we'll talk with you shortly. It's 888-573-8372. First up in the free speech zone, it's Kendra in Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City. Hello, Kendra.
Hello. First of all, I'm a friend of Jen's, so I kind of know a little bit about this. I don't believe that the lieutenant governor understood what she was asking him. He had mentioned that there's tax breaks. This is regarding a automobile recycle
trading
program.
Yeah, trading a gas guzzler for a hybrid or other fuel-efficient vehicle.
Right, and I actually talked with her in great detail because I think it's an excellent program. For tax credits, that involves someone that would be doing the long form that, you know, would have money. But many poor people don't do long forms. They don't get tax credits, if you will, and they're driving around these cars, and there are more of them than there are rich people that are taking advantage of these tax credits.
Well, now, hold on just a minute, Kendra, because I actually pay attention to what's on the tax forms. And even on the 1040A and on California's short form, the 540A, you qualify for a number of tax credits, the earned income credit.
Right. I'm just saying that with the cars the way they are on the road, it's causing a lot of emissions. They have a lot of health issues for other people. And if you were to take that car from them and give them or have it at a reduced rate, because right now those hybrid cars are very expensive and poor people cannot afford them. And so as a consequence, no matter how many tax credits you wanted to give them, the individuals would not be able to afford them, and so therefore you're still in the same situation.
Right.
And so her suggestion, and hopefully she won't call and say, no, you're wrong, but if I understand her correctly, it would be a program much like the refrigerator program where they come in and actually take the old refrigerator out, or you could turn it in, and then you'd actually get another car, maybe get it for a lot less, and therefore you're helping the environment much quicker than you would a tax credit. So I'm not sure if he understood what she was saying, and I just thought I'd throw that out.
I think you're right. He didn't grok the full question, and also, to be fair to him, we were under time pressure as the segment was about to come to an end.
Right. I heard that it was cut off.
But I do take your point, and I agree that this would be a great way to incentivize consumers, and particularly those who are driving older vehicles and can't afford to buy a new car. may not qualify for a lease or a loan, and we need to find ways to make it attractive for those people who often drive more than an average person, say to a construction job 100 miles from home.
Right.
We need to find ways to work through the tax code and through other incentives, you know, at the dealer showroom, to really make this work and make it a win-win situation.
Yeah. Well,
because
certainly
the car manufacturers could benefit if they would get over their addiction to gasoline.
Right, and one other thing, she actually did some kind of formula or whatever, and she found that it was a lot cheaper to do it the way she wanted to do it. And so hopefully she'll submit her proposal and it will someone will take a look at it. Because mm-hmm. that girl is really sharp.
She is.
Okay,
I love it when she calls. And if you know her, you seem to be kind of smart, too. Thank you, Kendra.
Thank you.
Great to have you listening. Thanks for the call. All my lines are open. It's the free speech zone, so don't be shy. Pick up that fancy cell phone and call me now. Tell us what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And I want to hear from you folks in Eureka. I want to hear your pledge that you're coming out to our live broadcast this Friday at the Eureka Theater. More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for traffic. Let's talk about the Santa Cruz Mountains, because we have a problem there at Summit Road at Bear Creek. Two-car crash, head-on collision. Both lanes still blocked. CHP remains on scene there and doesn't indicate if any injuries are being reported.
Santa Clara County, Highway 152 at Dunn Street. Injury crash, pickup truck and a car. Right shoulder, a couple of tow trucks on scene. And CHP there as well. Santa Cruz, Graham Hill Road at Meyer. Again, Graham Hill Road at Meyer. Injury crash, two vehicles blocking the southbound lanes. We do have fire department and paramedics on scene there. Southbound 1 may be slow between Monterey and Carmel. You may encounter some slowness there. This report brought to you by College Football and Versus. Saturday, Cal versus the Stanford Cardinal in the 110th big game. 4 p.m. only on Versus. Versus College Football, it's on.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're hitting the road for Eureka on Friday.
She's a real type A. And she's overinsured. Her favorite castaway is Thurston Howell III. She doesn't like big government, so it's no surprise. I can be her lover long as I downsize. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend. Every Friday we go liberal bashing.
And yes, if you're in Eureka, Humboldt County, you can come over to the Eureka Theater on Friday night and hear this guy, Roy Zimmerman, performing live. And if you have a conservative girlfriend, bring her. All right, we'll make her laugh, and we'll make her squirm. With me on the line now is Larry Glass at The Works in Eureka. He is our personal ticket master. Hi, Larry.
Welcome to Eureka on Friday, Peter.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming back to your area. I have a great affinity for the listeners to our program there, and it's just a great spot along the coast. So we're coming up Friday morning. Roy Zimmerman and I will be driving up. We got the live show at the Eureka Theater starting at 3 p.m., and I know you've been selling tickets there. Tell me how many millions you've pre-sold, Larry.
We're still working on our first million, Peter.
Okay. Well, listen, I'd like to invite you to come over to the live broadcast on Friday and share your story about your little wrestling match with Rob Arkley.
Yeah, well, it really wasn't a wrestling match. It was more like rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
You know, the famous Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier battle. It was
right.
More like that.
Uh-huh.
And I let him do all the work. I just sort of stood there and smiled.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But, yeah, I will come by on Friday afternoon and talk with you.
Great. And you also serve on the city council in Eureka.
I do.
And is that where you work on your sleep?
Boy, I sure didn't get much sleep last night, man.
How late did the meeting go, Larry?
It was 10:30, and we started at 5.
Oh, so. My.
It was a long meeting.
Well, I really appreciate those of you who run for and serve in local government because it's got limited rewards. You do a lot of work. You spend a lot of time in the council chambers with mind-numbing discussions and people who bring you issues that you have to really work hard to care about. And so I thank you for doing that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Peter, and I'd never done anything like this until a year ago when I ran. It's a little more rewarding than I thought it would be. I mean, certainly not financially rewarding, but it's rewarding in the sense that people really do thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe, and I'd always heard people call it a thankless job, but it really, at least for me, it hasn't been, because people really do go out of their way to thank you.
Well, give me a little example and a big example, like you put a crosswalk in or a stop sign for people and they just are grateful because their neighborhood's safer?
Well, a little example, even littler than that, is just returning their phone call.
Yeah.
And listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just so happy to finally get somebody to hear their problem. And I go out of my way to try and return everybody's call, whether they're in my ward or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're anywhere in the city. I try and give them a call back. And I try and hook them up with the right person at City Hall that they need to talk to, or I'll actually call that person myself and
mm-hmm.
then arrange a meeting or something. But, you know, so, yeah, so
right, and
that's
a,
the
a,
small stuff. And
a
then
bigger
the big
example.
Stuff is when, you know, they're going to do something in the neighborhood that the neighborhood doesn't want to happen, and you stand up for the neighborhood, and they finally feel like the little people have a voice for
mm-hmm.
a change. So that's kind of a big thing to me.
Yeah,
so.
That's great. Well, Larry, thank you for selling our tickets, and I hope people will stop by the works. What's your address there?
Yeah, don't be the usual Humboldt County mentality and wait to the last minute because, you know, this thing could sell out. And if you wait to the last minute like you guys always do, you're going to be crying. So, yeah, get in at 213 F Street here in Old Town, and we still have enough tickets right now. But they're starting to pick up this afternoon, and I think tomorrow and the next day they're going to be going like crazy.
All right, and we've just confirmed that David Cobb, the Green Party presidential candidate who is active there in Humboldt, he'll be with us on Friday in our 4 o'clock hour. And so it's going to be a great live broadcast, capped off with Roy Zimmerman's musical performance, all this at the Eureka Theater on Friday. Larry, look forward to seeing you there.
Okay, what time do you want me to be there on Friday?
Why don't you come by between 3:30 and 4?
Okay.
All right.
See you then, Peter.
That's Councilman Larry Glass. We'll get back to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone momentarily here. What do you say? 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I love coffee. I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia is the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM.
Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, it's only Wednesday, actually.
The story is true.
You got a lot of repressed feelings.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday?
We continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Don't you, Friday?
I've got a couple of lines available if you want to chime in with a comment. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We better get to Rick because he's on his car phone there between Gilroy and Salinas. Let me reach over here and turn up the power just a little bit at KRXA, Rick. All right. Did you feel that?
Loud and clear.
All right. Great. What's on your mind today, Rick?
Well, I talked to you a couple of months ago about the Codex Alimentarius, but I wanted to mention the EV1, the electric car vehicle that GM put out, and John Fabulous Garibaldi's Prius is probably a direct result of that legislation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the killing of the electric car is a tragic set of events.
Yeah, unfortunately, those 4,000 beautiful running around without a problem, the guys that were in the shops were only complaining that they only had the thing to do was to check the windshield wiper fluid. And they ran, I think they said something like 150 miles on a single charge and got up to 85 miles to a charge, yeah. Or 85 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think it was 85 miles to the charge. I think that there are plug-in hybrids now that can go as high as 70 or 80 miles an hour. Are you familiar with a woman named Sherry Boschert, B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T?
No, I'm not.
She's written a book called Plug-in Hybrids. I don't have it right in front of me. But she tells the story of the way the electric car was killed. And it's amazing how the group of early adopters who leased these cars because GM refused to sell them, loved them. And when GM said, yeah, we're scrapping this, it's not working out, most of those people wanted to buy those cars. And General Motors refused and preferred to junk them than to actually let people keep them and allow the electric car to continue on our highways.
The documentary film, Who Killed the Electric Car, actually tracks. They had a documentary camera out there tracking the flow of those cars as they were crunched into metal boxes and put behind chain-link fences. It's a great film.
Yeah.
I urge your listeners to listen to that one.
Yeah, great. All right, Rick, anything else you want to add?
I just wish two things. One, that I could be in Humboldt on Friday because it sounds like it's going to be a great idea. I wish you could get down to the Monterey area.
Well, maybe we'll do a show in Monterey next year sometime.
Yeah, I think you get to do it on Cannery Row or something like that.
That'd be fun.
And number two, a little while back we talked about the Codex Alimentarius, and I've emailed you a little bit about it, and I don't know if you're a little bit more up to speed on that, know what it's about.
Not a whole lot. I get too much email, Rick, and I did see it, but I didn't study it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Basically, it has to do with the fact that the FDA is trying to restrict through this legislation, the Codex Alimentarius, that it would make illegal all supplementation. You would have to get all supplementation through a prescription.
I see. Okay.
And they already have it in place in Canada and in Europe, and so it's something that's, something we need to pay attention to.
All right, sir. Great to hear from you. Thanks for your call today.
Great, and thanks for your service, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. Now to Norm in Sacramento. Norm, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter. It's so good to talk to you. I've been listening to you since way back in the IE Radio America days,
five,
6 years ago, streaming, and it's so good to hear you on the open airwaves here in Sacramento.
Well, thank you for your devotion. Listening online, I think, takes a special mindset, and now we have podcasting, which makes it a little easier.
Right.
But I really appreciate that you took the time to do that.
I'm still working from a home office, and it was really easy that computer all day. I wanted to talk about the discussion you had with the lady about assistance for replacing, helping low-income people buy energy-efficient cars.
Yeah.
And there's an important factor that always gets lost when we discuss this, in the sense that from the larger societal perspective, especially when designing a program like that, we need to take into consideration the actual energy investment in a car. Because it took a lot of energy to build a car. We call that embodied energy.
Right.
And you got to calculate that in the balance, because if a car has recently been made, and I think the energy payback, it takes on average about 7 years of driving a car before you actually consume the same amount of energy it took to build it.
Hmm.
So you don't want to replace the car too soon. Otherwise, you'll end up in a net, negative energy balance for society at large.
Well, I understand that analysis. At the same time, when gas is hitting $4 a gallon, we have to look at throwing good money after bad.
But the real issue here is not the gas; it's the emissions, because there has been carbon emissions in manufacturing that car. And that's the real metric that we have to look at here. This is the real damage in the environment at the moment.
That's a good point, and I support your notion of the right priority there.
Right. So keep up the good work, Peter. I'm really enjoying hearing you here in Sacramento.
Well, thank you, Norman. What are you driving?
I drive a 2000 Volkswagen diesel Beetle.
Oh, okay.
And I get 50 miles to the gallon on the freeway. If I ease back on the pedal a little bit, I can get that up to 55, 56.
Nice. And are you a high mileage guy? How many miles do you drive every day?
I don't drive very many miles. I drive basically from the Fair Oaks area east of Sacramento to downtown.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
But when I can, I take the train instead.
Nice. Okay, Norm, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, and I appreciate the compliments there. Going back to the IE America days, that's when I first saddled up as a channel mate with Tom Hartman. Laura in Sacramento, you're next here in the Free Speech Zone. What's on your mind?
Media concentration.
Okay.
Just wanted to remind you and your listeners that the FCC still has open public comment on FCC Chairman Kevin Martin's plan to increase the media ownership in favor of Rupert Murdoch and one other gentleman
Sam Zell in Chicago.
Sam, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Mr. Zell,
right.
An odious name.
So well, indeed, Sam.
They're going to ram this through so that these two individuals can further consolidate their media holdings, which is going to mean fewer voices, and you're going to probably have a lot more platforms for the kind of Karl Rove revisionist history in public. They're also going to be able to really weigh in a very important election year. It is vital that people contact the FCC while there's still an opportunity and weigh in with an objection to further concentration in the media, and then follow up with their legislators, both their congresspersons and their senators, to let them know that they absolutely oppose any further concentration and ownership of media, and the fact that it has a very, very negative effect on minority and women voices in the media. We need more voices
now, Laura,
and more owners.
Laura.
And not fewer.
Laura, I don't see where you get off, because the media is doing such a fabulous job.
They've
brought us the latest on O.J. Simpson. The trial isn't for a year, but we're going to get more coverage on him. They have revived the Natalie Holloway story.
Poor girl's still missing.
And she's still dead. And the Fox News Channel has dispatched Greta Van Facelift to Aruba to reopen that story. Now, don't you feel good about America's media?
Well, you know, I'm worried that America's media is concerned that they're providing the news that people want and not the news that people need. So I think it's, you can play the devil's advocate. I think we all can agree that we need more voices from all different levels of economic well-being to weigh in on how things are really affecting the American public.
And
we're
Laura,
not going to benefit by having Rupert Murdoch come in and tell us what he wants us to believe.
Right. And, Laura, I'm really glad that you're passionate about this issue and paying attention, because there are too many people who just say, oh, well, I can't do anything. You know, let's just see what's on TV and we'll put up with it. But it really gets to the core of a civil society and a participatory democracy. And
you unless you are well informed.
If the
you
information
have to make very
also,
important
also, if the information we get is based on an economic agenda of, you know, multimillionaires or billionaires like Zell and Murdoch, it skews everything and it screws us.
Absolutely. And just to put a final cap on my comments, I'm about halfway through Naomi Klein's shock doctrine.
Yeah.
And every thinking American ought to stop what they're doing and pick that book up and see what the future of America holds if we sit idly by and don't stand up now.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And one postscript I'll add. What was really insulting is about 10 days ago, Kevin Martin, who she referenced, the Republican chair of the FCC, married to Kathy Martin, who used to be the press secretary for Dick Cheney. Kevin Martin wrote an op-ed piece that was published in the New York Times saying that this effort to repeal the newspaper television cross-ownership rule, which would allow the Tribune Company, which is being taken over by Sam Zell in Chicago, to continue to own Channel 9, WGN Radio, they're selling the Cubs, that is a concentration of ownership that should be broken up. And Sam Zell is purchasing the Tribune Company for like 3 cents on the dollar. And in fact, on the day the deal closes, all of the cash he puts in gets repaid. So he's buying the company with absolutely no money down. He's a breakup artist who buys low and sells high. And Kevin Martin wrote this piece saying that he wants to repeal this rule in order to preserve newspapers. Now, that's so insulting because, first and foremost, the FCC doesn't do diddly about newspapers. It doesn't have any jurisdiction over newspapers. And all he's doing is using it as a ploy to justify what Laura has pointed out is simply greater concentration of ownership by those who already control way too much. Henry in L.A., welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you, Peter. I guess I heard her say about giving us news that people want. It's the news that they want us to have, because I think if they gave us news that we want, they'd have more listeners. But my question is about the Los Angeles market, and is there any chance of you coming to Los Angeles? Because I do not particularly like the show that comes on after Randy Rhodes on K-Talk here in
uh-huh.
L.A.
Well, the best I can say is to contact the station and let them know. They certainly are aware of me. They know about this program. They know it's available in Los Angeles. And I'd love to get that phone call from them saying, hey, due to popular demand, we want to put you on KTLK.
Well, if not that one, maybe another one.
Well, you know, in Los Angeles, most of the talk stations are hard right. You start with KFI and KABC. There's a new station that Saul Levine put on that has Michael Jackson and a couple of conservatives. But beyond that, talk radio in Los Angeles is almost all hard right.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it sure is.
I had a second question.
Go ahead.
You know, you've been talking about electric vehicles. Has there ever been any plan to electrify our commuter trains, you know, like Caltrain in the Bay Area, Metrolink here in the Southern California area?
Well, I don't honestly know all the details there. For example, the Caltrain that runs along the San Francisco Peninsula from
mm-hmm.
the city to San Jose.
Right.
I don't know why they couldn't electrify that system. It currently runs on diesel, and I think it's simply the legacy that those used to be, what was it, SP or...
I guess
it was a Southern Pacific right away, and so I'm not sure what it would take to rebuild the infrastructure there to convert to electric, but I'd certainly love to see it.
Because, I mean, it would still have the ability to run diesel diesel trains if they needed to, but
Correct, just
putting an overhead wire.
Yeah. I mean, the systems in Europe just put us to shame.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And even on the East Coast, that's a little bit better than here.
You're right. Henry, thanks for your call. Great to hear from you in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And call KTLK and tell them, real?
I sure will.
Okay, and I'll send you a check.
Well, thank you.
That last part wasn't true. We're going to take a break and return. There's room for another caller or two here in the free speech zone. Don't be shy. Call me now. Toll free. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And if you are shy, email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network right here on KRXA 540 AM.
All right, folks, time for that traffic report. You want it, we got it. Here's the and what's going on. Let's take a look at a problem. In the Santa Cruz area, Graham Hill Road at Meyer, two-vehicle crash finally cleared. Minor injuries reported there, but again, finally cleared there. Santa Cruz Mountains again, Summit Road at Bear Creek, two-car crash, head-on collision, and both lanes are blocking the lane there. In fact, CHP remains on scene. They called out the fire department as well, as you might imagine. Let's take a look at Monterey, northbound 1 at Camino Aguieto. It's a fender bender there. Now, it looks like that's actually on the right shoulder, and CHP is present as well. Inner Lake and Green Valley Road at Paulson, we have another crash. It is also on the right shoulder as well. And this report is brought to you by Craig and Auto Parts. Looking for low prices on motor oil? Right now, get the Shell motor oil for just $0.49.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's another slice from Roy Zimmerman. He'll be with us in Eureka, performing live at the Eureka Theater this Friday night, November 30th.
You got that yellow ribbon stuck on your H2. Thanks for the support. Memorial Day weekend, you threw a barbecue. Thanks for the support. I can feel the love 7,000 miles away. I'm a patriot, as I was trying to say when you cut me short. Thanks for the support.
And I think we can count on Roy to perform that one live Friday night at the Eureka Theater. Hope to see you there. You can get your tickets at the Works or just take your chances and show up at the door. Unless the fire marshal tells us to turn people away, you're getting in. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Clinton did disavow the war, not in any vigorous way, but he did make a statement or two that he thought it'd be better to not invade and to continue the policy that had already been there, you know, leaving the arms investigators and putting more internal, well, putting more pressure on Saddam rather than going in militarily.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a crusader. In fact, I caught myself saying the Clintons, neither one of them have ever been crusaders for anything, and then I caught myself short because I think he was for one thing.
Yeah, his own butt after the Lewinsky affair.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not like he could have been, I think, but what I would say politically he was a real crusader for was what got him in more trouble maybe than anything in the end, and that was NAFTA and GATT, and the immediate effect, negative effect, was that labor disowned him in mass.
Yeah.
And I think that more than any other factor is why the Republicans took over. A lot of labor just didn't vote anymore, and didn't vote especially for anybody connected with Clinton. And the Democrats have never quite recovered, and what's more horrifying is that the DNC and that whole centrist mentality has never admitted, like they should have, to that mistake, and they've never admitted to the catastrophe that GATT and NAFTA and all that stuff have been.
Well, you make a great point, John. Returning to the original idea here about Clinton and the comments that he made in Iowa this week, he is rewriting history because, yes, he made some nuanced comments, but he did not speak up or speak out in a major way prior to our invasion of Iraq. And I just make the comparison with Al Gore, because he did. He didn't do it repeatedly, and he wasn't out at the peace marches, but he gave a couple of very sharp speeches that were fairly widely reported, where he took a strong position that separated him from the majority of Democrats in the Senate.
Did you hear the Jonathan Turley interview by Randy Rhodes today?
No, I didn't.
He said, and I thought this was well worth hearing and rather different, he said, Washington is full of corruption and bad people. And he said, it's overrun with it. And he seemed to imply, and I think he's dead right, that there's nothing new, it's just that it's worse. There was a quote in a 78 biology textbook that caught my attention where the author was commenting about the problems that he was running into as an environmentalist, and he said the U.S. Congress has an acute sensitivity to meeting the needs of its financial supporters.
Indeed.
And that problem, well, H.L. Mencken, I was looking through his book called Prejudices, and unfortunately, I need to go back to it because he has a long rant about the horrible corruption, political corruption, particularly the Congress, that he launches into in that book. And it almost sounds overstated, but then when we look at what he said then, but now he may have had a light period compared to what we've got now because the stakes are so much higher.
Yeah, thank you, John. Now to Mark in Sacramento. Mark, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. A belated welcome to the Sacramento market.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be there.
I just wanted to talk about, and kind of dovetails with the last guy, and talk about the experience factor, at least on the Democratic side, and how Hillary likes to trot out the fact that she's, you know, so experienced, which is just basically a bunch of a load of BS, if you will. And
wait a minute, Mark. You know about her 35 years of public service, don't you?
Well, this is how, and I'm an Obama supporter. I'll come right out and say that.
That's fine.
And this is how I counter that. I mean, a friend of mine, his wife is a oncologist here in town, and has been for 20 years, and pretty high up in her hospital, and he goes with her on trips all over the world, and they're treated like royalty because she did something that made her, you know, well known. Anyways,
all right.
He's gone on all these great trips. He's met like foreign versions of surgeon generals and you know, basically royalty or high up in government and stuff. And you know, they go to these nice fancy balls and are shown on different tours and stuff. Basically, like Hillary's done for 8 years as you know, the first lady.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend says, does that mean I'm now qualified to operate on somebody's cancer?
Well, here's
does
the
that
thing.
Mean, you know, I'm somehow... I'm going to practice medicine now because I went to a couple of state dinners?
Mark, if Hillary were running against George W. Bush in 2000, she could say that she has traveled the world and been exposed to more foreign leaders, more foreign governments, and more foreign issues than George W. Bush ever had been. But to make that claim in this race doesn't cut it. I don't believe that she has greater experience. Certainly, she's been in the Senate a little longer than Edwards or Obama, but I don't think that's definitive, particularly because you can't point to a single thing that Senator Clinton says, yes, that's the landmark legislation that I wrote and passed. When you tell me that what that bill is, I will acknowledge the successes of Senator Clinton. Thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
Good to have you listening. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Why don't you join me again tomorrow? Same time, same stations. We'll do it again.
Keep smiling until
hemp,
then.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For a second day in a row, the bulls were running on Wall Street. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason on what started the charge.
The market got excited because a key Fed official, the vice chairman of the Fed, suggested, hinted, you have to read between the tea leaves, but the way the market took it was that he said the Fed will cut interest rates again next month. And then the market was off to the races.
The Dow zoomed 331 points higher, its biggest one-day percentage gain since April 2003. The Standard & Poor's 500 rose nearly 3%, and the NASDAQ had a gain of more than 3%. The market's also encouraged by a sharp decline in oil prices, down $7 a barrel since Friday. A caution about CT scans used 62 million times a year in this country to help doctors see what's going on inside their patients. A report from CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
We will turn the center light on.
A CT scan can help save your life.
Keep your eyes closed just a few more seconds.
But a new report says the dose of radiation from the test can also boost your cancer risk.
We're sounding the alarm now because what is happening today is going to have an effect 20, 25 years down the line.
The article, published today in the New England Journal of Medicine, estimates the percentage of cancers caused by CT scans, currently 0.4%, will increase to as much as 2% because the number of scans has increased so dramatically.
The radiation from the CT scan is up to 100 times greater than a traditional X-ray. Embarrassing revelations about Rudy Giuliani's conduct in his final months as mayor of New York. Ben Smith of Politico.com says Giuliani's security detail ran up tens of thousands of dollars in expenses when he spent weekends on eastern Long Island with his mistress.
The city was paying the travel and security expenses for these police officers to drive him out to Southampton to visit Judith Nathan, who's now Judith Giuliani. And they were then billing these expenses to a range of very obscure city agencies like the New York City Loft Board, places where the bills would be very unlikely to ever be seen.
Giuliani, in the Republican candidates' debate going on right now in St. Petersburg, Florida, defended his 24/7 security and said, as far as he knows, the expenses were handled properly. With a White House send-off from President Bush, the Israeli and Palestinian leaders headed